This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday week. We've seen off more competitors than Kevin Pressman in the 90s.
Hi, good evening everyone, and you are listening to the Wednesday week, courtesy of Michael Constantine Wealth Management. I'll get that in now because I don't have the jingle and I can't be asked to make it again like I did last time. So I'm joined tonight by Stevie, Ben and Dave. Hello.
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 All right, you're in a nice time. Mm-hmm. So we've got loads to talk about that we probably didn't think we'd have to talk about this time yesterday. So let's just crack on. Let's start on a positive. We'll go back to the Wickham game. Obviously, we were touch and go whether that was going to go ahead. I spent my morning like looking out of the window and updating about 50 people on text messages as to whether I got any snow or not. But it did go ahead. Stevie, you were there because I could see you in your yellow hat. What did you think to it?
Once we got there and we braved the weather because it was absolutely flipping freezing, I thought it was a good afternoon. I thought it was another one of those games where we played really well. I thought building on the Tuesday night game against MK Dons, we'd gone in there and it was one of those where it was another big game. I thought we acquitted ourselves really, really well. I thought we were the better side. I think the stats attest to that. We were statistically better than them in terms of possession attempts that we had on goal. I thought we controlled the game largely. And if you go back maybe 2 months, you go 1-0 down against a team like Wickham in this league, you start to think that it's going to be a long old afternoon, especially with, I think they scored in like the 15th minute or something like that. I might be wrong. Scored early-ish. You know, you're thinking it's going to be a long
23rd
afternoon.
23rd minute, yeah.
Yeah. There was never a worry in my mind that we weren't going to be competitive on Saturday afternoon. I was impressed with the players that came in, and I'm sure we'll talk about them when we drill down into it a little bit more in a moment or two. To come from 1-0 down to go up, it didn't necessarily feel like a loss. I'd say that, and a lot of draws recently have felt like losses, and I think I'd attribute that to the performance and, you know, that upward trajectory, if you like, that we're on at the moment in the league anyway. It felt like a positive. It felt like a positive result against a team that were or are right up there. And it was an enjoyable afternoon for me.
Yeah, Ben, obviously there was the big kickoff in the North Stand halfway through the first half, which I think for me meant that I got a pint at half time, because I went down when the scoreboard said 43 minutes and then me and my mate were stood there for about 10 minutes wondering why no one else was there. We didn't realise that the scoreboard hadn't stopped, but, you know, got a pint, so happy day. So we missed the goal. What was the first goal like?
I also missed the goal because I missed a game because I was down in Bath.
Oh, what are you doing in Bath?
CrossFit related, as is for me, but anyway,
in cars in Bath,
lifting weights in Bath.
But I was like being updated through Twitter and what have you. It looked like we were on top throughout the first half. It's like It seemed like the goal that, that they got was against the run of play, quite drastically based on the updates that I were getting. You mentioned the...
It was against the run of play, Ben, and it was also deflected. Yes. You know, it took a wicked deflection that, you know, I'm not saying that it, the keeper would have saved it, but he had no chance based on what happened. So.
Open because I'm reading the match report of BT Sports and it says here that his shot took a wicked deflection off Callum Patterson.
I think the author of that report is SS, is it not?
I have actually got the Man United Arsenal game on in the back.
All right, okay. Well, literally, it's as if you work for the BBC. But yeah, so Ben, like you said, obviously you've watched the highlights back, so it's probably just as good as most of us have seen, me included, because I missed 10 minutes of it.
Decent goal, decent touch by Bannon, decent play by Gregory, and then it's quite an easy finish for Shadipo. But just to go on to the what you say about the bit of crowd trouble, which sounded like another medical emergency until people are saying it isn't, someone just twatted someone for slagging Bannon off or something like that. Do you know what? I've come close on the cop for that. You know, it doesn't actually surprise me that that's happened because.
Yeah.
On the cop where I sit, there's a lot of people that if Bannon even just looks to pull off one of his turns, people go, "Look it out, Bannon! Get it forward, Bannon!"
Oh, how can you hear me?
And it really, this season more than any, it just really started to wind me up.
I think with Bannon, we don't know how lucky we are, do we? We don't know how lucky we are as a fan base. And I think we say that all the time. And then, I'm just as guilty as doing the fucking hell Bannon. But I'd never shout it. But he does frustrate me sometimes. But I guess that's part of football, isn't it? But yeah, it's interesting you say that about the medical emergency, because obviously I sit on the north. And at first we thought it was a fight, the way that everyone turned all at the same time and went off. And it wasn't until the medics ran over that then we thought, God, this is bad. And me and my friend who had the early pine, she's a nurse, I'm a qualified first aider, I was like, oh God, is this going to be like, is it near us, is this going to be like, she's palliative care as well, so they'd have had no chance, she'd have just made them go quietly. But yeah, it was nice. It was nice to see that obviously someone wasn't badly hurt. But I mean, Dave, fans fighting and causing medics to run on the pitch and the game to be stopped, they've got to find them and ban them, haven't they?
It's probably the best thing to do with anything like that is, I think, just try and forget it happened, because that's what we need to do. You're going to get idiots in football stadiums. I don't think the club's going to do anything about it, really, if I'm being absolutely brutally honest. I think they're just going to probably forget it ever happened and move on with it, which is sad but true. It's not the worst thing that's happened in a football stadium recently, but that's a sad indictment of football in general. Ben's alluded to the fact that there is fans' frustrations in the stadium. Some people are more vocal about that than others. And we've all felt probably like telling somebody to shut up in a football stadium. It's unsavoury. Hopefully it's just an isolated thing. It's good, I suppose, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a medical emergency, because we hate seeing things like that at any football stadium. But ultimately, the best thing I think to do is just say it is what it is. It's two dafties getting involved in something that could have happened in Hillsborough, but it could have quite easily happened in Sheffield City Centre later on. So it is what it is, I think, unfortunately.
So, all right then, Dave, we'll go back to my boy. He's back. And I said it on Twitter at the time, I think hats off to them both for being civil, you know, Gregory and Windass together. It must be really difficult because, you know, I've not played it easy with them. I've hurt both the feelings, and like, me and Josh are quite happy together now. But obviously to see him on the score sheet, Dave, that's brilliant, isn't it?
It is good, because it's another dimension to the club. It's something that we've not had up to now. There's players that are bedding themselves in, that are starting to be seen positively by the fan base, the likes of Corbin, who's even like Gregory, he's showing his role within the team. He's coming into his own as this sort of senior leading figure in the front line. And I think to have somebody like Windass and see what he can do, even last season when we weren't playing great, to have that sort of dynamic, that running from a bit deeper, to be able to beat men in a central position and to to get shots on target. Something we've missed up to this point in the league. And that's probably made things a bit more difficult for Moore, that he's not had that option. So to get him back, to see him playing, is great in the first instance. But for him to start finding goals as well, it's ideal. It's perfect for him. It's going to make him start believing in himself. He's going to want to make up for lost time and start to form partnerships up front, and also with other people in the team. I think he was a little fortunate. I think he hit the ball cleanly for his goal.
It was quite a goal, wasn't it? If Rooney had scored that, it'd have been an advert on Match of the Day for like, or on Sky Sports for weeks, wouldn't it? But he has admitted it wasn't intentional.
For the MK Dons goal or for the Wickham goal?
Oh, sorry, yeah, no, sorry, I'm thinking about
the MK Dons goal. You can have that. That was Dennis Bergkamp all over. I'm quite happy
with
that.
Wickham goal, the Wickham goal was...
He got it well. You know, he's got the ball out of his feet and he's hit it early, which is good. He's got it on target, which is good. It's gone about 4.5 inches from the left foot of the Wickham goalkeeper, who's then just kind of collapsed over it. But, you know, it's... If you don't put them on, if they're on target, there's a chance they can go in. So yeah, I'm pleased that he's there. I'm pleased that he's back, and I think it'll add a different dimension. I just hope that Moore eventually decides to pick a way he wants to play rather than the usual bingo at 5-2 on a Saturday where you've got no idea necessarily how he's going to set up, and it feels sometimes a little bit like it's change for change's sake.
To be fair, Dave. Sorry. I was just going to say on that last point, I'd have to say I slightly disagree to an extent. I think that what we've seen over the last 2-3 games, certainly since the Sunderland game, is a more of an identity. All right, there's still those maverick, I'm going to 5-2 just go like this and put a player in the team. But I do think he's settled now on that formation of the formula of the three at the back and the wing backs. And we've got those players that are going to play through the middle in the way that they're playing. I think ideally now, personally, it seems to be we've got a first choice strike force in Gregory and Cambiri. I think Windass is a bit of a spanner in the works. I think it's a great spanner to have because we've now got to deploy him somewhere. And there are other players I'm sure we'll talk about tonight that are going to get in that first 11 that, first of all, probably weren't signed as first 11 players. Cambiri, I didn't think would have been signed as a player that we'd be thinking would be a first 11 player. Hats off to Johnson for all the shit he's been given for playing out of position when we played the four and he played left back, and you know the lack of dynamism, if you like. I think he's settled in really well at the left side of the back three that he has played. So I do think we are getting to a point where there is an identity, but I take your point. There are still the odd occasion where, and last night would be an absolute sort of testament to that. There are times where he just goes, I'm going to try this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to put this player in. But I do think that formation is starting to settle a little bit.
Interesting, isn't it? Because I said it always reminds me of whenever I try and play fantasy football, I am shocking at fantasy football and I will give up every single week and switch out as many players as I can and then switch in new ones. And I feel like Darren Moore. But obviously, Windass as well tweeted afterwards, Sheffield Wednesday tweeted, that's 2 in 2 games. And he replied with, actually, it's just 1.25. So he's obviously hungry for it. Ben, I'll come back to you. Obviously, the tackle from Patterson that gave away the goal was a proper striker's tackle, wasn't it? That gave away the free kick for the goal, I mean. So is that something that if he's going to keep playing in that sort of position, if he's going to keep playing as a defensive player, he's got to get the striker's tackles out of him?
Yeah, definitely. It's one of them things. He's clearly not a centre-half. He's clearly not a defender. He's filling in there while we go through quite a horrendous spell of having a centre-half injured. Who is it now? Iorfa, Hutchinson, Dunkley's been in and out more in the last month, and we'll probably talk about him winning player of the month because he's done really well. We really need Hutchinson and Iorfa back ASAP because we can't really, not if we're wanting to be top six and pushing on, be having Callum Patterson. And what you saw last night, Kieran Brennan as well, who is a young lad, needs Iorfa, Hutchinson and Dunkley around him to be able to get the best out of him.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the player that we've kind of seen come back as a new player, Dave, obviously we've just talked about Windass, but Massimo, 50 appearances now in what feels like 12 years he's been at Sheffield Wednesday. But isn't it great to have him back in the fold? Because he just gives Bannon that extra space.
100%. It's I know he's not the same player, and I'm ready for Stevie to kind of start his one-man fan club, or the lead of the fan club for the Kieran Lees. But similar to Lee, he's so apparent when he's not there, and he's so important when he is there. What he brings, the shape he gives to the team, not when, but like you say, Vic, when what he allows Bannon to do, it's every assurance for the defence. He's a cracking player, a really good bit of business. It's a crying shame that he's only made 50 appearances in the time he's been with us. That said, if we can keep him fit, I feel that directly and indirectly, he's going to be an integral part on any chance we have of going up the season. So it's good to see him hit those 50 appearances, but let's have 50 more, please.
Absolutely. I don't think he'll get 50 more this season somehow. But yeah, 50 more would be great. Just on that, obviously, we're talking about injuries, and, you know, we've looked at a few now, and I think it was Josh Windass, when he was interviewed after the MK Dons game, was asked about his injury. And Stevie, I'll put this to you. He said about Darren Moore's giving his injury a lot of respect, which I found was quite an interesting term. And I think, do you think that's why we're not seeing players back as quickly as we might have expected? So like your Iorfas and your Hutchinsons, maybe in the past, they might have been put on the bench and risked. Do you think that's part of what Moore's doing? He's waiting until they're 100%.
I think possibly. I think I couldn't say for certain. You'd like to think that Darren Moore is a manager who's played under some big managers himself. He's played at the highest level in some big games. You know, he's played a lot of Premiership football. With due respect to people that have been in and around our club, with one certain exception that we'll all want to forget last Christmas time-ish, there's been nobody that's been operating at that sort of level previously. And I just wonder whether or not, and this isn't something I've really thought about, I wonder whether or not the mentality of that kind of manager and that kind of former Premiership player is a little bit different to the scratching around at the bottom end of the Championship, your League One, your dogs of war type sort of lower league players and managers that have been in and around there. I'd wonder whether Darren Moore respects players' injuries because, A, he's been through it himself and has been managed himself at a Premiership level, and he's looking to do that quite possibly. It's heartening to hear. It's really positive. I think that's really nice that we've got players that we're really actively looking after. I don't have the answers to your question, Vic, if I'm honest with you, but I just wonder if that's something.
We have expanded the team out with obviously the first team playing squad, but your sports scientists and your psychologists and all that. You've got to think that they are working in tandem with the physios, and there is more management and consideration now than ever before in football in general, that there has to be a rehabilitation physically but also psychologically to build the players up, so when they're going back on a park, they are as close to being ready throughout their entire body and mind as they could be.
I think for me as well, that gives me a bit more confidence about, you know, like Massimo Luongo coming back, Che Duncan coming back, is that they've obviously waited until the right time. But obviously as well, the psychologist with people like Hutchinson, who it will have been a major blow to him to be injured again this season. It will have been an absolute kick in the tits for him. So it's going to be great that we're doing this and that effort, like you said, psychologically is being put there. Cool. Ben.
Just say,
oh, here we go again. Go on.
Ben, you talk.
No, go on. You've started. No, you might as well finish.
I was just going to say, miss. But I think everybody's got a friend who's got a friend, and there were some of the stories 2-3 years ago, the state that the club was in behind the scenes, and stories of physios that weren't doing the jobs right, and people, you take it all with a pinch of salt, but there were people on the treatment bench that were paying for their own treatment and coming away from the club and, you know, going down south and seeking specialists, or even leaving the country to try and get a second opinion.
Yeah, Forestieri went abroad, didn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, if we've made strides to sort of eradicate that sort of scenario, that situation, then whether that be Moore who's done it, whether it be the infrastructure of the club that's done it, you know, whoever it is that's responsible for that, A, you need applauding for doing it, but B, thank God we're finally working and operating with a little bit of logic in that area.
Absolutely. Ben, Che Dunkley, our Che. My family's name is Dunkley, and my nan asked if we might be related to him, and we had to tell her probably not. How good has he been, Ben? He has just been outstanding, hasn't he? Old Cheyenne Armani Keanu Dunkley.
Yeah, he has. I've been a big critic, as I think quite a lot of people have. And yeah, we've climbed down from it the last month. And I think a big part of that is that we've played to his strengths. I know me and Steve have talked about it quite a lot in the last few weeks. He's not had the ball at his feet quite as much as what he probably did the first couple of months of the season. And we've left him to edit and kick it, which he's limited to that probably, but he's very good at that, especially at this level. He's probably the best at that. We've seen it in our box. We've seen it in opposition's box. You know, he's notching some goals as well that we've probably not seen since Reader Johnson. You know, similar sort of player, not the best technically, but anything aerial, physical battles, which is probably 60-70% of what happens in this league, is a top player for it, and he's shown that last month.
Like you said, coming up with the goals as well, it's got to be breeding confidence in him, hasn't it? Because he does seem to be a confidence player.
Yeah, and I think we saw the other side to that last season when things weren't going well, it wasn't going well for him, and probably the start of this season as well. But he's come through that, and yeah, I'd struggle to take him out now when Hutchinson and Iofa come back. And with how well Brennan's been playing, I'd said it a few weeks back, I wouldn't really be able to take Brennan out. So, and then you've got Marvin Johnson, who's had a
and Callum Patterson.
Probably forget, like, put last
Jaden Brown.
Yeah, let's not go on him. But have you got any stats on him, Ben? Have you got any stats on old Dunkley?
He heads it and kicks it. It's simple. His game's simple.
I think the interesting with him is that, do you know how we've spoke to before about previous defenders, how they've looked better when they're alongside another good defender, and using like Tom Lees before as an example, when he had Leuvens versus when he had other people against him. Dunkley seems to have almost come to the fore when the pressure's been on him and the weight of the defence. He's been the senior defender. He's been the only established defender. But rather than that looking like he's kind of shirked our responsibility or been pressured that we might have maybe unfairly put on somebody like Tom Lees, who might have crumbled in that situation, I think he's really grown in that situation where he's kind of elevated people like Marvin Johnson to be perhaps a better centre-half than what he would be. And it's been good that it's been sort of reciprocal, that's brought the best out in Dunkley, and that's also brought out a consistency in Johnson as well. So for Dunkley to have had the pressure on him and for him to have reacted positively to that, I think says a lot about his character. Again, particularly given the fact he's been so criticised by fans, and I think most fans would have been critical of him, myself included. And I think most fans now would have reassessed their position and taken a bit of humble pie and said, yeah, he's done well. He's been an asset to the team.
Yeah, and I mean, he's spoken out quite candidly on social media and stuff, hasn't he? He doesn't shy away from sort of criticism. And I think, I know certainly from where I sit halfway up the north, you can hear him shouting. He's definitely like a future leader. He really is loud, and he seems to, he's always the one that does the sort of the Barry Bannon, come on then, to the crowd. So, you know, for me, absolutely brilliant. Well, Ben's got no stats, but a man who is good with numbers is Michael Constantine. He will manage your wealth very well, just as he sponsors this podcast. Second half of the podcast is, it's shit, to be honest, looking at my notes here. Let's talk about Hartlepool at home. Did anyone go? Steve, you went, didn't you? Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I went. it wasn't a great night, to be fair. To be honest with you, Vic, I don't even know where to start with it. I think I put something on Twitter when I not calmed down, but had a bit of a rant last night about the fact that for all the positives that, you know, we've seen in the NK Dons game, the Sunderland game, the first half performance at Accrington, the resolute sort of digging in the second half in poor conditions. And then on Saturday, you know, you're riding that crest of the wave, you're looking at the stats and you're thinking, right, it's Hartlepool, it's the Pizza Cup, it's, you know, it's something that we should be navigating through fairly easily. I was a little bit frustrated, if I'm honest, with the people that have come out after the game and talked about Moore dropping bollocks with the team selection and, you know, he's not treated the game with any respect or anything like that. And I'd have to say that I disagree with that. I think if you look at the team that we put out last night, it wasn't dissimilar to the teams we put out against Newcastle, Mansfield, Harrogate. You know, they were on par with those teams that we put out there. Shadipo has been in the press making noises. One or two others have been complaining about not having chances or anything like that. And last night was a chance. And I think Moore has come out and said, we after the fact, he's given people chances and, you know, things weren't right last night and people are going to have another wait. I don't put any blame on Moore last night, if I'm honest with you. I think the one slight error that he's made is, not error, but the one thing I would question retrospectively, should he have put Agbonta Homer in rather than Jaden Brown? Has he gone for experience rather than two young lads at the back? I don't know, I'm not sure. But for my money, that 11, when I looked at it at 6 o'clock, was good enough to beat the side last night, and they've just not turned up.
Shadipo annoyed me a bit, actually, what he said after the Wickham game, because it's all well and good being frustrated and what have you, and fine, he's got every right to be frustrated, but for me, he's not shown anything to suggest that he should be in any starting 11. He's not shown anything to me that would give him the right to go and knock on Darren Moore's door and say, when's my chance coming? Because I didn't see him against Wickham, and yes, he has scored, albeit something that if he misses that, it's the miss of the season. But he's not stood out to me when, at the start of the season when we brought him in, he was meant to be one of the exciting players that had done really well at Oxford last season.
I thought the Wickham game was his best game, if I'm honest, Ben. I thought he was really good. There were a couple of chances that he had. First half, I think it was. First half, he's put one cross in for Gregory and keeper's pulled it back with like a David Seaman type sort of pullback that was, you know, was absolutely brilliant. How we've not scored from that, and that's no criticism of us. The keeper's just pulled a worldie off. I thought he got forward well. I thought he was, you know, he wanted the ball. He was a lot more direct than he has been. And that was the kind of game on Saturday where you go, right, all right, you've been given an opportunity and you've taken it. I just think the timing, and I agree with you, the timing of his comments was just bizarre, to be honest with you, because instead of saying, I'm not happy and I'm making noises here and there, he should have been saying, right, this was my chance, I've taken it, because it was his first start in God knows however long. I've taken a chance on Saturday. I'm going to show you that this is where I am and I'm going to kick on from here. Because
Corbiano, he's done the same sort of thing, hasn't he? He sort of made noises about thinking he'd get more chances. He's got his chance and has seemed to have not looked back. I'm not saying every single performance he's done has been a world-beating performance, but basically, like you said, Stevie, he's got his chance, having been frustrated, and I can understand that. But then he's the one that's acting more like the senior professional. And he's only a young lad compared to Shadipo. I can't believe
how old he was. When I mm-hmm. look at his style of play and stuff like that, I would have put him at being quite a bit older than what he is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think for Shadipo to have been given an opportunity and then to almost disregard it, to not use Wickham as a platform to run the show. It's disappointing. There might be more behind it, but you can't say that you're not getting a chance. Again, then be given a chance and then not take it. It's criminal.
I see last night as his chance. I don't know what Moore's thinking was behind the selection. Was it? I know you've got to play a certain number of players from, is it the previous game or that have played so many games within the league to sort of supplement your starting 11 in your squad, and you can make more substitutions and so forth. I think Shadipo starting last night based on Saturday was the right call. He goes out there. I would imagine from my point of view, if I'm Darren Moore, I'm putting him in there and going, right, it's your best game that you've had against Wickham, who are a decent side in this league. Go and fill your boots against somebody like Hartlepool. You get your confidence in. Yeah, exactly. You'll get a few goals. You'll get a chance. He was absolutely... the only criticism, in fact, I'll tell you, the only criticism I've got on Moore last night was that he left certain players on the pitch till half time because it was that bad. They were that poor. Shadipo was terrible. I'll name names, and I'm not one for criticising, but Lewis Wing can get in the bin after last night for me.
I'm not obviously one for criticising, but he can get in the bin.
I don't get the bloke. He's, you know, he's flattering to deceive. I don't know. In all seriousness, you don't like criticising players because I know if it was me that was getting criticism on social media, I know how it would affect me. But then the flip side of that is these are people that are in the public eye that get paid a certain amount of money. And I'm not sort of denigrating him as a person. I'm just saying that he's not doing his job to the best of his ability based on what we've seen. And that's my criticism. I expect more from Lewis Wing. I expected more from Byers last night. I thought Byers was as poor as I've seen him. Yeah. And I do like Byers. I think of the two of those two, he's better. But if you take things on the merit at the moment, there's going to be a lot of competition when everybody's fit. And I don't see where Byers gets in at the moment because Bannon's going to play. Luongo is going to play. Windass is going to play. You've got Gregory and Cambiri forming a partnership up top.
At the moment, I'd put Dele Bashiro in front of Wing and Byers.
100%. I was just about to get to that. And then you think about it at the start of the season, although he's dropped off a little bit, when Dennis gets fit, Dennis will be back in there and up and around it.
Yeah.
You know, there are players in there. You know, you look at the centre-half position, and I know I'm going from the negatives to the positives again. Once everybody's fit, we will be in a very good position. I firmly believe that. You've got Hutch to come back in. You've got Dunkley. You've got Iorfa when he gets fit. We've got Palmer who's going to play, you know. Or is he going to play? I don't know. I don't know.
He better do.
I don't know. I don't know if my Liam's going to get in when everybody's fit. I don't know. I don't know if the plan was or if Windass was expecting in September, October time, because I think he thought he'd be back in October. Was he expecting to come back and lead a line or form a partnership with Gregory? I don't see that how that happens at the moment because we've got Cambiri in there. I'm digressing because I'm trying to avoid talking about last night.
Well, do you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Jaden Brown giving a little pass back to Mr. Wildsmith and me having to film it to send the girls at her game too because nobody actually believed me how awful and typical Wendy it was. It moved at like centimetres per hour. Like, how did he not get to it?
Molly could have run back and picked. My daughter could have run back and picked that up off the line. She's 7.
It went right near him. Like when it's been slowed down and people have taken, like, I mean, the pass back from Brown was poor, but he didn't have that many options, did he? Because he was being closed down. But the option that he took wasn't the best. And Ben, it just rolled right in front of him. And you're a goalkeeper. Come on, you'd do something, wouldn't you? Stick a foot out.
As soon as it happened, I did, because we watched it on iFollow, because thank goodness we weren't sat in cold watching.
Same.
But yeah, I turned my dad and
timers.
you're going to label it at Jaden Brown because it's his own goal. But I said, why is Wildsmith not just throwing himself at it? You know, just to slide and just try and get anything on it to stop it from going in. He just seems to.
You watched it?
Yeah, he seems to think that he's going to get there easily, and then thinks, oh, I'm not. But by the time he thinks, oh, I'm not, it's too late for him to throw himself at it, and it's past him. It's the golden rule is, and Steve will probably know this as a defender, and I know it as a goalkeeper, Wildsmith's done right by stepping away from his goal, because you don't want the ball really played back to you with the goal behind you. I've done it, and I've conceded something similar about 3 seconds into a game where the ball bounced over my foot. So you move to the side of your goal if you want, you know, if ball's got to be passed back to you. And that's where the blame does lay with Jaden Brown for me, that he should lay it back on Wildsmith's left foot. And in that case, if Wildsmith had missed it, it would have gone out for a corner. But I think Wildsmith's got to throw himself at it.
The thing that shocked me was when I looked, like, obviously I was watching it on iFollow and obviously watched the replay, and then I videoed it and it's just like the Laughing Policeman soundtrack needs to be over the top. But even if Wildsmith, even if he'd have tried to get to it, like, or the fact that he didn't even, I'm trying to add words, but that their players were coming forward. If he hadn't have even jumped for it, one of their players would have tapped it in. So the fact that he did, it just made no effort whatsoever. He had no awareness of their two strikers behind him. You know, and we know about keepers and awareness of strikers behind them at Hillsborough recently, because, you know, but it just, I just can't get over how poor, I mean, the whole game was atrocious. I missed the last 20 minutes. I was quite grateful I had to go on a podcast, but it was just woeful, wasn't it? But, you know, we said about it, I said the other week when, you know, the first round, I said, I'm not that bothered. I don't particularly want to focus on silverware and whatever. But when you're four matches away from Wembley and you're on a good run, shit, isn't it, really?
I think anybody can accept losing in any match. And I think if you lose a match and you've played well, or it's not gone for you, or you've played against a good team, or even if you've played against a poor team that have played well, then you can make your peace with it. But when you know that you've been so unbelievably seemingly disinterested, you wouldn't say as far as they wanted to lose, but that's probably as close to a team that genuinely did not care that lost. That's probably the closest I've seen a win to a team where, you know, they didn't even seem annoyed when they misplaced passes, which were plentiful as well. Nobody seemed to care about any poor performance. There seemed to be no attempt by anyone on the park particularly to try and correct things or to try and play things simpler because the complicator wasn't working. It was as poor a performance as you'll see from Wednesday's season, I hope.
I think the only person that looked interested was Barry Bannon when he came on, really. Mm-hmm. Nobody else had even like broken a sweat, had they? In fact, it was interesting because on Twitter, as I was scrolling through sheer boredom, I saw a lot of people, not Wednesday fans, who were like sharing videos of the goal, who were actually claiming match fixing. That's how bad it looked. And, you know, when it gets that bad, you think, Jesus, you'd have to watch us every week, mate.
You can't believe that we've conceded the Bailey Peacock foul goal at Ipswich and that last night within, what, 3 months?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What?
You'll be shining up your boots, Ben.
You get a game now, you definitely would. The thing is, I think we're even missing over the fact the other two goals weren't exactly fantastic either. It was dreadful defending. No communication between your defence and your back line. A big enough gap between the two that nobody wanted to fill. And it was Hartley poor. We're also done a team that, as far as I understand, were non-league until fairly recently, last season or maybe the season before.
Last year they came up, I think.
So I've got
Wildsmith at fault for the first goal as well. I think as a goalkeeper, Ben might disagree. You probably won't. But if a cross is coming in 2 yards out on a set piece, you're claiming it. He wasn't being blocked. He almost just sort of stood and flapped it like that. The ball has dropped 2 yards out, and they've just dropped it in at the back stick. Goalkeeper's got to do better there. And I tell you what, if Peacock Farrell was in goal for the own goal last night, if he's in goal for the first goal last night, he'd be getting absolutely derided. It doesn't matter what else is going on. He'd be getting absolutely hammered, especially after the others. It was just frustrating. The evening was frustrating. You can point at Wildsmith. I thought Brown, despite it being Wildsmith's fault, Brown was terrible. But look at the issue. The pass, if you want to really dissect it, the pass into Brown, he's had the ball from the goalkeeper. He's given the ball into wing. Wing's not turned. He's given the ball straight back, or he's looked over his shoulder. He's given the ball straight back when there's two players around Brown. So Brown's had to go back to the goalkeeper. So can you point the finger at wing? Possibly. But then to wing's defence, if you look at our midfield at the moment, they're getting the ball and they're wanting to play through the lines and go forwards. Berahino and So, by the way, we've not mentioned him tonight. Yeah. I don't want to see any Wednesday shirt again ever again. Those two up top, this was another one. I'm going to take my chance. Berahino, once within 5 years, was, you know, we were talking about £25 million for Tottenham. My God. And I've spoken about how much I want it to work for him this season, based on last night, based on previous performances in the last sort of month or so. He doesn't look interested.
We're back to Francis Tepes, aren't we? Jeffers all over him.
Listen, I
Jordan
sit behind
Rhodes,
him on the
Francis Jeffers.
I sit behind the dugout, and you know he gets warmed up, and he's there. He's doing his bit. There's been a couple of occasions this season where he's been the third sub, or it appears that he's been the third sub, and then Moore's changed his mind and he's just gone, I'm going to go with somebody else. And Berrino just goes, yeah, all right, then go sits down. If you do that once, then you know, and it's all about being a team. But if that's happening 2-3 times, or it's happened again and again, and you're then sitting there and then not getting the nod, you'd want to see a little bit of frustration in the rise.
You'd want to see the directions to his office, wouldn't you?
Exactly, 100%. But he's just sitting there, and he might as well get his phone out and start texting, because he don't look bothered. And like I said, I've been here at the start of the season. I was an advocate for Berahino and Gregory or Canberry or Patterson, and I'll say that because I honestly believe when he signed, he'd be a 10-15 goal a season striker. No. Sorry, no. He's fourth choice at best at the minute.
It's his touch that makes me laugh. It's horrendous.
It's awful. His first touch is terrible. Let's scrap last night. Obviously, we're out of the cup. It's a bit of a shitter. It's more of a shitter that we were on quite a nice run and that has dented it. But yeah, it doesn't mean anything. We'll go on to Portsmouth first, and then we'll talk about today's news next. So Portsmouth, we've got them away on Tuesday night. So long trip, should have been on the Wednesday night, was it? Should have been Tuesday, then should have been Wednesday, then now it's Tuesday again, which I know for a fact has cost my mates about 50 quid in admin fees of changing rail tickets. Thanks for that, Sky Sports. I'm guessing none of us are stupid enough to go. Yeah, absolutely not. No chance. So they are currently sitting ninth, 1 point ahead of us.
Behind us.
Sorry, 1 point behind us. Well, be 3 points ahead of us, aren't you? They've got George Hurst. Do you know what, right? I can kick you out of this. I've muted him. So they've got George Hurst. Dave, do you see George Hurst doing anything against us? Is he going to be playing? I don't even know if he's really playing many games for them at the moment. Ben will know his stats. I think it's 14 with one goal, 14 appearances, one goal at the moment. Yeah. But what are we thinking? He's bound to get a hat-trick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been playing terrible, or so it would appear from his statistics. He's having to take a massive re-evaluation, I think, of where he thought he was going to be, which is probably a good thing. You know, he's got ahead of himself. He might have a future in the game. I don't know if he'll play against us. I think we have played against him before. I seem to think he was on loan at Rotherham when we played them, and he did all then. I don't think he's doing very much, but obviously the Wednesday way would suggest that there's every chance that he might get a goal against us. I've just brought up stats there from Portsmouth, who are currently on a 5-game winning run, and they've only conceded one goal in those 5 games. So I think Wednesday logic would suggest we'll probably hunt them and we'll win, but long way to go. It's going to be a tough game. They're always one of those teams that you suspect are going to be competing. I think folk would have probably thought they might have got out of League One by now. If that Wednesday team that played against Wickham turns up, yeah, hopefully we can get something down there. If the team that turns out against Hartlepool turned up, then God help us.
Obviously, talking of ghosts of the past, Stevie, we've also got the Cowleys in charge there. All seems like a very familiar sort of 3 or 4 years ago for us, doesn't it, really? Maybe not. Yeah, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So do we expect, obviously, they'll know a lot about Sheffield Wednesday. Things have changed a lot since we were linked with them, but they will have an idea about quite a lot of our players, I would imagine, like Ibanez, etc. They're going to be ready for us, aren't they?
Listen, I think the fact that they're up there and after the Lincoln, leaving Lincoln was a bit of a wrench for them. But the fact that they've sort of gone through their nadir, if you like, and they're coming back up the other side of it, if that's the right word, I think they're going to be looking to impress. They'll be on the TV. You know, fair play to them. The stuff that they've done has been absolutely brilliant. I'm not sure how much of a factor they're going to be next week. And if I'm honest with you, I said it last week, I didn't worry or fear playing against Wickham. I don't necessarily worry about playing against Portsmouth. My concern is how much last night has damaged us, if it has at all. I think Moore's got a lot of work to do. I would expect he's going to have him in this weekend and sort of doing something that a little bit more in-depth based on last night, because there'll be players that were involved last night that are going to be involved and will be starting on Tuesday. The only people with any sort of respite from yesterday evening are, you know, off the top of your head, the goalkeeper, Dunkley, Luongo. But let's be right, we brought Bannon, Windass and Hunt on at half-time last night to try and change things. That shows how much Moore wanted to win the game last night.
Yeah.
What sort of effect is last night going to have on next Tuesday is the only thing that I'm worried about. The stature of the opponent, I'm not necessarily concerned against, because if they're going to set up like the Cowleys have in the past, you talk about them knowing us, but us knowing them, are we going to be able to sort of break them down and, you know, be combative against them, because they can be physical at times. They do like to play football. That might play into our hands, because that's something that's happened before. We've played against teams that like to get the ball down and play, and that's when we play our best stuff. If we can take the league momentum, if we can ignore that last night happened and take the league momentum from the last couple of games into next Tuesday night, admittedly, we've not travelled south recently very well. I'd like to think that we can put in a performance and, you know, I still think we'll be all right. But last night was massive. That's what worries me.
Right, so coming up to Christmas, Ben, £205 I need from you this time next week, please, if you would like a season ticket next season. If you can't get it by then, it'll be £215. And if it's not in by New Year's Eve, that'll be £225. And you are very fortunate because you're a student. Stevie, if you want to see the football next season, I want £495 from you by this time next week. If you don't send it me, I want 515 by the 14th of December. And if you've not got it me over Christmas by New Year's Eve, I want £535 cash, no finance option. What are we saying about that?
It's not very good, is it? I think they'd have got away with it if they'd have spread it out over a few months and, you know, said, get it now. And then, you know, you pay over the course of however many months. Like, I think that's how it's been in the past, isn't it?
Yeah, but it used to be back in the day. It used to be March, April time was your early bird. I think the thing that's annoyed me more than anything is I spoke to my mum today and told her, because she sorts out all the season tickets and she won't pay for mine anymore, but that's not my problem. And she actually went to the club shop on Tuesday because she came to collect my season tickets. She'd forgotten hers and she wanted points and that. And she spent £200 in the club shop on Tuesday on Christmas presents. And now Mr. Chancery, I mean, they're concessions as well, so that's 500. So now Mr. Chancery also wants £945 off her by next Tuesday to see if she can have a season ticket. And that's a lot of money. And obviously, Stevie, you take the kids as well. If they were having a season ticket, you know, for an average family, if you had an 18-year-old kid, although we do under 25s now, don't we? But if you had two 18-year-old kids and a mum and dad, you're looking at nearly £2,000 3 weeks before Christmas. It's just absolutely obscene, isn't it?
It's not doable, is it?
And no.
For me, they're doing it for a reason. And it screams cash flow problem.
Well, the points deduction we accepted was 3, as long as we paid all the players by the 31st of December, wasn't it? So it goes up to 6 then. I honestly, coming from a PR background, I think that they'll backtrack on this big time. But coming as a Sheffield Wednesday fan that's watched under Chancery for the last 5-6 years, I don't think they will. So,
Vic, can I just ask you a question based on what you've just said there? Do you think, try and frame this question right, do you think that there was nothing previous had gone on? And I'm not suggesting for a second that there's any sort of pot that would have sorted them out last night or anything like that.
I don't think 20k would have covered it, would it?
Well, I know, but the thing is, you know, whatever it is that it is, the timescale is just, the timescale is ridiculous.
It's by the 31st of December, isn't it, as well, which is the only thing that I can think of. Yeah, I think, I mean, I said to my mum earlier, I was like, if I look at what I've got on my refund from last year, which I have finally now got, and then I look at, you know, maybe dipping into my savings, as long as my boiler doesn't break, I'm all right. And I shouldn't be having to think like that. Like, it's ridiculous. And I, the only part of me that, so to give Mr. Chancery the benefit of the doubt, I think he's probably been very ill-advised again, and I think he's probably seeing this as a Christmas present. I think he's probably seeing it as...
You can't keep hiding behind that anymore.
No, you can't. It's shocking. When the half-season ticket prices came out, I thought, you know what, that's brilliant. Just in time for Christmas, they're actually quite reasonable. 200 quid or whatever they were for some of them. Very, very good. These ones just... It's just obscene, isn't it?
For me, it gives me the fear that, you know, I think in Germany they've just said that about shutting stadiums down to 50% and maximum 15,000 capacity. Unless he's got the fear that something's coming again, it's going to close stadiums, he'd rather have the money in the door and then drag his heels with the refunds again. There could be some element of that. Maybe they're just thinking, look, if we get some money in, if we do end up having to not have anybody in the stadium in the future with whatever happens with COVID and the like going forward, are they just trying to make sure they're getting anything through the door will be better than nothing?
I mean, then my argument to you would be, if you were Mr. Chancery saying that, I would be saying, well, who in the right mind is going to spaff out 1,500 quid by next week to think mm-hmm. that actually there's this new, whatever variant it is, old Macron variant going around, that you don't know if you're going to be able to go?
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. It's difficult to work out. I think we've understood there's this logic and then this Chancery logic, and they're not necessarily aligned. It's probably being poorly advised. He's probably has a reason behind the decision he's made, but I think he works on a completely different level and he comes with a completely different mindset to the largest number of people that walk through the door at Hillsborough week.
That might be the reason, Vic, if you think it thinks it's Macron variant and everybody in Sheffield's wearing it.
Well, that was another thing I was going to say, was that they also did a bit of PR recently, didn't they? Like, if you buy two shirts or something, you get a gift voucher and all this just before Christmas.
It's been better this season. Like, you'd say about the early bird, the half-season ticket, It has been better. You look at what we did a couple of months back with the 6-game thing.
Yep.
It's been much better.
I don't think it's any coincidence that we've brought in Liam Dooley as a CEO.
Has Liam been annual leave or something recently?
I know, yeah.
He's been making decisions in his absence.
Honestly, it's like a minute they let a flight out of Thailand. His entire job has just been snatched away from him. He'll not be able to move the hendos. It'll all go wrong like before, won't it? But yeah, I think it's a huge own goal from Sheffield Wednesday. And I mentioned earlier about speaking to the Her Game 2 girls. So I also sent this and I said, you know, this is no finance available, because to be honest with you, if there had been a 0% finance option, I'd have probably done it. Like, I'd have probably said, yeah, all right, I'll stick it on. The fact that there's absolutely no finance option available, not even Chuffing Wonga, there's nothing. And then they're announcing it the day after a 3-0 defeat at home to Hartlepool with possibly one of the best own goals and gaffes you've ever seen. After a period of just on the incline with fans sort of feeling and positivity around the club. And I just can't get my head around it. And one of the girls is a blade and said, it's almost as if he saw the shake and went, nah, I'm coming back to Sheffield, pal, just you wait. But then another girl is a Swansea fan and has a season ticket on their south stand, which is their posh stand, and she pays £269 a season for an adult season ticket in the Championship, at a mid-table Championship club. And we are expecting 485 if I've not sorted it by New Year. We're expecting that for League One football, for the third tier of football.
I've noticed it at uni, lads at uni that you know, said with some of the games, I were looking at it thinking, it'd be a decent game to go to, League One, price shouldn't be too bad. And even for students, it's ridiculous pay on the day.
Yeah.
See, it puts people off, and that's not me making anything. That's what people have said to me at uni, that if they were to go and, you know, pick a game to go to, they won't go to Wednesday because it's too expensive. They'll go to United instead.
Well, they can go to the other side of the city. It's easier to get to. It's cheaper, and it's a better standard of football at the end of the day. And the other thing is the student offer is only for full-time students. Now, I mean, I'm a part-time student, but I still work full-time in two jobs. But the number of part-time students I know are working part-time because they cannot, like, they can't do both. So you're making someone who's working part-time also pay a full price. It's just the whole logic behind it is just absolute bollocks. Anyway, I just want to give a quick shout out to Phil Russell of the Charity Football Weekly podcast. So I went on their podcast last night to talk about Her Game 2. And Phil is a community nurse, big Wednesday fan, big fan of the podcast, has listened for years, longer than I've even been on it. So that means, right, he's listened to Dan Fudge all this time. Like, get a life. But Phil's a community nurse, and obviously the last couple of years for him have been absolutely shite, as you can imagine, more so for him than many of us. And he's a big listener of the show, and I just wanted to say hello to him and thank you for listening. And it's great that he listens to us on his rounds. Anyone got any other business? I've got one bit of positive news. So it does involve Jacob Rees-Mogg, but, you know. So Sheffield Brightside MP Jill Furness stood up in Parliament today and told Mr. Rees-Mogg that he owed Sheffield Wednesday a congratulations and a thank you for their community work. He, as Dave pointed out on WhatsApp, kind of responded like, what's a Sheffield Wednesday? But yeah, we got congratulations from a man who we all obviously want to sing our praises. What a wonderful guy he is. No political affiliations on this podcast, but it's great to hear that the community side of the club, despite all the shite that we've just been talking about, the community side is going strong. And, you know, they are ever present in schools. They have been since I was a kid. They're going out there and they're spreading the message. And if we're not getting it right on the pitch or on the pricing, at least we're getting out into schools and into communities, right? Maybe.
Congratulations to Sheffield Wednesday.
No.
Cheers, Jacob. Love you, hon. Honestly, of all the people to say it. But yeah, anyway, thank you guys. This has been the Wednesday Week, sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management, and we will see you real soon.
Keep up to date with the Wednesday Week on Twitter at TWWcast or on our website, thewednesdayweek.co.uk.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Lubosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.